Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to True North. Welcome to everybody watching down in Mullaloo and online. If we have not met, my name is Dean. It is great to be with you this morning and excited to be sharing with you. We're continuing on our Sunday mornings at the moment. We're looking through a book of the Bible called Malachi, and we're going to be picking up on that today. So looking forward to that. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in to God's words. That sound good? Excellent, excellent. Well, even if it doesn't sound good, we're doing it anyway. So here we go. Lord, we just thank you so much that you would allow us to come and to gather like this and to meet with you, to bring you our worship, our praise. And as we come now to your word, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, we are here. We could have been anywhere, Lord, but we're here because we want to meet with you. We want to hear from you. We want to be led by you. And so in these moments we have in the scriptures, I pray, Holy Spirit, come, blow afresh on these words. May they speak to us. Lord, I pray that every individual will be able to hear that which you would uniquely share, speak, and impart to them today. So come, be amongst us, lead us in all things, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed, said, amen. Hey, we are in the book of the Bible called Malachi. If you were here last week, you know, last week we looked at this scripture. It's the last of the Hebrew scriptures, the final prophet who was sent to bring God's word to the people of Israel before God went silent effectively for 400 years, not speaking through his prophets. These are final words God gave for a 400-year stretch. So here's the great thing about these words. We know they've clearly got enough weight that they can speak words that are critical and important for each one of us. They're words that speak into what it is to be God's people. And so we looked last week about at the core of this book is about the idea of renewing worship. And the people were going through kind of a renewal of their worship. They were going through some motions, and God was going to speak to them about kind of the heart of worship. And so we saw last week that at the very heart of worship is this idea of honor and how we relate to God. And honor is always a response to God's love. Honor is a response to God's love. We will honor God when we recognize that all response to God begins with recognizing his love for us. And this morning we're going to continue in Malachi chapter 1, just kind of unpacking how this continues to play out. And it says this. Now, before we start, I want you to have a quick conversation. It's around 10 a.m. this morning, you know, roughly. And I want you to have a super fast conversation with the person next to you. Are you a morning person or a night person? All right, go. Or if you're at home, have a quick chat to somebody. Have a think to yourself. We're going to find out who we're sitting next to. It's going to be a fascinating, I don't know, little study here. All right, here we go. I can only see hands that are right in front of me, but show of hands, who is morning person? Who is a morning person? That's awesome. Now, hands down, who is not a morning person? Look at this. We've either got a 50-50 split, or people are like, I'm both. I am both. I'm not sure. But that was roughly, we say 50-50. So what that means is, for at least half of the people, at least in this room, being here in the morning was something of an effort. Did anyone find it an effort? Did anyone say it wasn't an effort? Who's been up since 4 a.m.? Anybody? We've got at least a couple. Look at that. You didn't go to bed, did you? Who's been up since 5 a.m.? How early of people are we? We got a lot of 5 a.m. You're not joking. You're morning people. We got a 6 a.m.ers. Yep. 7? Show of hands. How many? 7 a.m.? Are you looking around the room? Now we're going to start seeing more people. Who got up at 8 a.m. this morning? Just curious. Yeah, yep, yep. Who was 9 a.m.? All right, who was 9:30 or later? Look around, people. That away. These are hustlers. These people, those last hands you saw, they are hustlers. We all come this morning, and some of you come here, you come on a weekly basis, you come regularly, some of you come periodically, some of you got dragged here today, some of you, all the different reasons. We started talking about this last week. Some of you, it was an easy thing this morning. Some of you, you were waiting around to come to something like this, clearly. Some of you, it was like, no, I got to make that happen. There are all kinds of reasons and motivations and what it looks like to say, yes, I want to be a worshiper of God. And what we are going to look at in these verses in Malachi 1 today that we're going to unpack is a little bit of the expression of what worship is, a little bit of, if you're someone who doesn't normally like to be up this early, we're going to look at why sometimes worship can become a burden and how we can fix that. Does that sound good? Yeah. All right, Malachi 1, we're going to pick it up in verse 6. We focused on 1 to 4 last week, this week 1 to 5, this week 6 onward. It says this, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? Now pause, because this is an idea we're going to come back to. The priest, we touched on this last week, but the priest saying, how have we done this? How have we kind of gotten this wrong? How have we defiled you? Where did we go off track? Our experience of what worship is about often is taking place at a subconscious level. In other words, these priests, think about this. They were priests. They were the spiritual leaders. But there was something happening deep within that made them think, we feel like we're doing all the right things, but there was an attitude, a mindset, and an approach that they were out of touch with to not even realize that it was something on the inside that was defiling or polluting or breaking down their worship. And so God's going to say, I'm going to try and help you see what's below the surface. Turn to the person next to you and say, below the surface. Turn to the other person and say, what's below your surface? That's awkward and nobody really wants to say, tell them, I'm sorry, I won't ask that again. I won't. What God's doing here is he's going to try and get below the surface of their action. All our actions are motivated by certain beliefs and constructs and our interior world. But we're often less prone to pay attention to what's below the surface than we are what's at the surface. And so God says, listen. He says, when you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? But now you implore God, be gracious to us. Well, with such offerings, with this kind of, this is what you're bringing me. Will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? And then he says these words, oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. And I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it's defiled, of its food, it's contemptible. And you sniff and you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. How do we do this? Again, what do we do? He says, listen, when you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals, and you offer those as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord, for I am a great king. For I am a great king. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Now, as we come back to this passage, as I said, we want to understand the heart of worship. Can I tell you something? No matter if you're a morning person or not, either way, somehow, you know, you're in Mullaloo. You're watching online. If you're watching this later in the week, file yourself under not a morning person. You know, we all got here. Somehow, we all got here. And these words of the Lord through Malachi are so huge and so important, because they speak to this very heart of what we're doing. They speak to the very heart of worship. Wouldn't the worst thing that could happen is we went through all the effort to gather, and then the whole thing was, as it says here, useless? Like, we did it. We got there. We got up. We got changed. If you got up at 9:30, you probably didn't shower, but most of us showered, and we made it here. the worst thing surely would be, well, that was all useless. So what do we see from these verses about worship is here's the thing. Do you know the kind of worship that is not useless? The kind of worship that seems to be pleasing to God is it starts with this idea. It is when we bring our best. It's when we bring our best. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's about bringing our best. It's about bringing our best. The kind of worship that is pleasing to God starts with bringing our best. And why is bringing our best important? Because what we bring, then the attitude and the thoughts and the heart from which it springs, reveal what we believe about God. The priest, he says, here's what was going wrong. They're like, God, we're doing all this stuff, and why do you say that we're getting it all wrong? He says, you're bringing effectively less than your best. He says, when you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? You see, God had laid out explicit instructions on how worship was meant to function, the kinds of offerings they would bring, and they were not to bring the idea of they would bring sacrifices to God, and those offerings, those sacrifices, were meant to be a reflection of their value, their esteem of God. I want you to think about the word worship for a moment. Think about the word friendship. What's friendship mean? It means this is how we relate to each other. We are friends. Think about the word discipleship. What's it mean? It means I relate to Jesus as I'm a disciple of his. Or apprenticeship. I'm an apprentice to someone. Worship is meant to mean I esteem God as most worthy over all things in my life. That's worship. And so what can happen is we end up with a dichotomy between, if you're a worshiper, if you're somebody who's like, I don't even normally come to church, the great news is none of this is for you. This is for people who've said, I want God to be first in my life. And if that's you, what can happen is we can have a dichotomy between, on the inside, I want to say God is like first and greatest and best in my life. But on the outside, I tend to start to give him whatever I got left over. So what was happening in their offerings? We don't live in this time, but then and there, they were meant to bring offerings that reflected their value of God, and that meant in their culture and as part of God's plan of unfolding salvation, bring offerings of worship from their flocks, from their herds. And they were meant to bring not just like, hey, that animal was good for nothing anyway, whatever's left over, I'll give it to God. No, there were explicit rules around here's what you bring to God. Why? Because he is a great king. And if you just say, God, you can have whatever leftovers I got in life, that's not honor, is it? Honor is about valuing God above all things. And so the challenge is sometimes that can be a little burdensome. And so what had happened? Why did their worship need renewed? And why does my dean's worship need renewed from time to time? Why does all of our worship need renewed from time to time? Because as time goes by, what can happen is we can all, like the words from Malachi, it wasn't like, hey, this will happen once to the people of Israel and God's people probably never worry about that again. No, this is a word for all God's people that we must constantly return to the heart of worship and a heart that will express itself. So at the heart of worship is saying, God, you are so worthy, so valuable, so that I can only bring my best to you. And so why did it happen? Why did, and this was the word of the priest, why did they lose sight of this? Why were they accepting less? Why were they willing to say, that's fine, bring whatever you got, we'll take it. That's what was happening. Whatever. That's fine. Good enough. At least you brought something. Whatever. And they sniffed at it contemptuously and they said, well, that's fine. We're doing it. And God says, listen, that's just useless. So why do we all need to hear this? Because sometimes worship can become burdensome. And if you follow Jesus for any amount of time, you may have experienced at some point this experience in walking with God that you start to go, do I have to? We talked about this question. It can creep in our lives. Do I have to get up? Do I have to drive all the way to meet with all those people, some of whom only got up 10 minutes ahead of time? Do I have to go through all the effort and find a car park? Do I have to, do I have to, whatever, you fill in the blank. What do you find burdensome about worship? Do I have to sing? God, I don't know if you know, but I don't sing anywhere. Do I have to Listen to that red-headed guy with the American. Why can't he just adapt? He's been here for 20 years. His voice is grating me. What's your burden? You know, no, that's too much on that. Anyway, that hurt. I was hoping for that. It's not burdensome, Dean. That's fine. We all. Oh God, do I? They ask for this and they want that and they. Oh, and it, God, you. Here's. Can I tell you? If you've ever found worship burdensome in the least, here is what God is going to try and help the people understand there, and He can help us. That actually is what sometimes needs renewed, refreshed in our hearts. And it centers around this. I'm gonna draw for you today. Some of you, it's another burden to bear, but okay. I wanna draw you a simple picture, and my hope is you'll get this, because here is, I want you to see a little bit of hopefully how this functions. Do you wanna know why worship gets burdensome? Do you wanna know why worship, can feel like an interference? This is your life. Well, let's see. I'm going to draw your life. You're like, how are you going to do that? There you go. It's a box. They say when it's all over, it goes back in a box, so we'll just put it in the box now. Here's your life. This is my life. This is our life. Let's just imagine this is our life. And so inside these kind of quadrants is things like our, you know, I want you to imagine for a moment, I won't make you share this, but think about right now, every worry you had this past week, think about some of the subjects of worry that it was. Everything you were concerned about, everything that caused you a little bit of stress, everything that you thought, what's going to happen with that? Everything that mattered to you this past week, just list a few of those in your head. And you will probably have had in those people, you know, relationships. I don't know why it's doing that for me. Is that my handwriting? Let's thin it out a little bit. It's literally going, your letters are too ugly to keep here. Okay, I don't know. Your life is disappearing as we speak. Your life and mine, they are fading. As you said, the moth and the rust. Let's just try one more. Let's just say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of the drawings. It's not meant to be today. There's no drawing. I'm sorry. We'll try it like that. I know, yeah, right. You could all see how good that was going to be. But our lives live within this box. In those boxes are all the things that matter to us, our families, our relationships, our friends, our work, our finances. Almost guaranteed, you, if you had worries this week, finances, your house, your future, your career. We have a life inside our box is all of these things, all the things that matter to us, all the things we think about. And then what happens is it's kind of like there's another box and it's over here. Let's put this box over here. And this box represents like God's kingdom. We're going to call that box my kingdom. That's all stuff that matters to me. We're going to call this box God's kingdom. And in God's kingdom, sometimes we think this box is sort of like, well, it lives on Sundays maybe, and it's, you know, kind of from this time to this time, or inside this box is all the worship I should bring. The people of Israel, they're like, okay, over here is God's box, and that's where we got to bring the animals, and that's where we got to bring our best. And we end up feeling like worship is burdensome because we're like, here's my whole life right here, and here's everything I'm focused on and worried about and wondering if there'll be enough for me and this and that. And then, God, you want me to take from my life, and you want me to come and bring this stuff and put it over here and into your world. And the challenge, the reason why worship becomes burdensome is because we end up seeing our lives in sort of like two different kingdoms. And there's like my kingdom and God's kingdom. And every time a little bit of my kingdom needs given up, my time, my energy, my focus, my attention, my finances, my talents, whatever it is, every time we think we have to take some of that and give it over here into God's box and God's kingdom, we go, that feels like a bit of a burden. Why? Because that was mine. And you're asking me to give up my time, God. You're asking me to give up my money. You're asking me to give up my energy. You're asking me to give up my talents, my career. You might, whatever God asks you to give up, it feels like, why do I have to give this up for you? And so worship becomes burdensome. becomes burdensome. But what God pictures is this. There's not your kingdom. I mean, there is a sense in which God has given all of us our own kingdom. But God says, no, life is meant to be lived entirely under my kingdom. That there is actually one kingdom. And that kingdom belongs to God. Over and over, God in chapter 1 of Malachi is called the Lord Almighty. It is an emphasis on the kingship of God over everything. It's a recognition that everything that exists in our little box, it doesn't belong to us. It all belongs to him. He's the one who created us. He's the one who's given us our career, our job, our talents. He's the one who's given the people into our lives. He's the one who's given the finances that we survive on. He's the one who's given all these things. It's all his. And worship isn't about how do I just take what's mine and rightfully mine and as a burden, give it to God. Worship is going, no, God, my whole life exists for you. You are the Lord Almighty. You know, I want to read, this is the piece of the story we sometimes forget. It gets mentioned a few different ways, but in verse 14, for about the third time, it speaks of this theme in just chapter 1. It says, for I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. In verse 11, he says, my name will be great among the nations. What we miss sometimes is that life isn't about our small box. That box is awesome, and it's good. But it exists within this context that God is the one who is over all things, and he has invited us to be a part of seeing his name great among the nations, over all things. God worshiped amongst all things. And you want to know what? Here's the great news. That's a huge box. In fact, it is infinite. He is God, not just over certainly this kind of like a couple hours on a Sunday. He is the Lord Almighty over all things. Anybody seen anything like in, you know, pictures from a telescope or about everything they're discovering about how huge and far-ranging universes and galaxies are? Anyone ever looked at all that and thought, wow? And then you go, that is, do you realize how small a little, guess what? God, it's not like his reign finishes here. Everything, he's the creator of all. He's the creator of all. And he has invited you and I. He's given us our little box, our little kingdom. But he invites us to say, God, actually, I recognize it. It's not about me and my little kingdom. In fact, Jesus invites us to pray. It's not about my will be done. It's your kingdom come, your will be done. And when we do that, worship becomes, instead of being burdensome, it becomes joyful and life-giving the way it was intended to be. And his name is great among the nations. You know, here's one of the things I think is just great news about that reality. You know, I watched a movie recently. It's called Air, and it's a story of how Michael Jordan signed with Nike and the story of Air Jordans. And there's no spoilers because the whole thing took place in 1984. And you've probably heard of Michael Jordan and possibly the Air Jordan shoe. There's this moment in the movie where they're trying to convince Michael Jordan to sign with Nike, and there's just one line where this guy, Sonny, is pitching him, saying, here's why you should sign with us. And he's saying, everybody else around this boardroom table, their names are all going to be forgotten someday, but your name, Jordan, it's going to just live on kind of forever. And it's kind of a fascinating moment because the movie, a lot of it centers around this name, Jordan, Michael Jordan, his name, and how his name will be remembered and known and all these things. And here's this guy, Sonny, who actually a lot of people do know his name and a few of the other names around that table, but he's like, you know, your name's going to go, can I tell you something? Even if you're Michael Jordan, and I don't know if you watch our podcast, buddy, but if you do, giving details are later. But anyway, just kidding. That was funny, though. It was. Watch it back later. I don't care if you're Michael Jordan. Think about how big his name is. He makes, I think he makes every year himself and passive income from the shoes that bear his name. He makes $400 million a year. And I think I got that right. Ryan, is that right? I feel like you'd know. Okay, anyway. They are sold. You can go to any probably country of the world and you'll find a pair of shoes with the name Jordan or the picture on them. No matter how big his box is, it is a speck compared to the greatness of the Lord Almighty. It's not even a speck. And guess what? My box is smaller yet. Like, this is not to put down Michael Jordan. It's just to say, I don't care how big your box gets in this world. You're kidding yourself if you put all your stock in just making that box big. Because at the end of the day, it does. It will all go back in the box in one name. The scriptures say the grass fades and the leaves on the flower fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And so we can get so wrapped up in our little box, and we think it's such a burden to have to bring stuff to God and not realize the joy and the freedom that God has invited us. He said, hey, Dean, I gave you this tiny little box. Probably, just all these things. But if you will offer all of that box back to me, if you will offer not just the cattle, which I don't have. I have a few fish in a pond. If the Lord wants them, they're his. But, if we will just offer, here's what I've given you, Dean. Here's the talents I've given you. Here's the little span of life on this, beautiful green dirt. Here's the people and the places. And if you will, as Romans says, offer your body, Dean, your whole life as a living sacrifice. If you will do that, that's worship. This is your spiritual act of worship, to offer all of who we are to God. And if we will do that, we go from building this tiny little story and this tiny little box and look at me and my name to going, I'm a part of the infinite, ever-expanding, gracious, glorious box that is the kingdom of God. Do you know that in worship, when we gather, here's why it's no burden to come together like we do on a Sunday. Do you know this form of worship? When they're bringing their cattle and these things, this is what I'm going to call for a moment. Body worship. It was how, as a body, as a people, as a community, the whole people of Israel, it was how they worshiped together, if you will. It wasn't as if worship should have been nowhere else in their life. The old Hebrew scriptures are clear on that. But if this is our body worship, what it is to be the people of God, do you know why it is... Not only should it not be a burden to come and to worship God in these spaces, have you ever grasped a taste of what God is doing when we gather like this in rooms together and as a whole bunch of people who've been scattered throughout our weeks? Do you know that when we gather like this, it is a small taste of the picture that is found in the scriptures in the book of Revelation when it says here is where everything's going to wind up, and it pictures for us that one day there will be this crowd that is too numerous to count, made up of every tribe, tongue, and nation, who will all stand together singing, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That one day, this right here, it's a speck. I grant you, it's a speck, but it is the tiniest little taste of the worship that will one day go on forever. And hear me, I don't believe that one day heaven's about all we will do is sing. That is not. When I was a kid, I heard that idea and it freaked me out. And I thought, if all we're going to do is sing, I don't know if I ever want to. I'm just, So don't hear me wrong. But it will forever be a part of what it is to be the people of God. And we will be there. And I guarantee you will be glad to be in that crowd. I believe heaven will be a place, as this life should be, of creativity and work and energy and pouring ourselves into things that matter. I don't know how it'll all work, but from everything I see in the scriptures, but the focused worship and declaring the greatness of God will always be a part of who God and how God has created us to be. So when we gather, this is a taste of it. You can, when you come into this place, if you've got burdens, instead of seeing worship as burdensome, if you've got burdens in your life, this is the place where you can come and go, no matter how big that burden felt, in the light of what God is doing, I actually realize that I am freed up to see that is not all there is. There's a bigger picture. I am re-envisioned that life is about so much more than me and my small box and my name. It is about the name of the Lord God Almighty, the one who loves me and is with me and is for me and who has created all things, and by him and for him and to him are all things. Wow. That's worship. That's what worship's about. And when we come, and there's so much more we could say of what it's about, but you know, when we come and we don't come in to worship with just our leftovers, okay, I want to bring this to a kind of focus point for us now. So what does all this mean? Imagine in a practical way, what would it look like for you and I, if you're a part of the tribe at True North Church, if you're part of this community of worshiping, then what does it mean and look like for us to, in our day, in our way, in our small, tiny speck of the big plan God's writing, what does it mean to bring our best? What does it mean to bring the best of our mental engagement? You know, how many people have been, won't do a show of hands in case your boss is here. How many people have been at work at some point and you like, you know, you're supposed to be working on something and you find yourself distracted and looking up podcasts at True North Church? I understand, you know, it's just, you know, but how many people have ever been sitting around a dinner table and you wanted to be focused and attentive to the people around you, but you got a little bit distracted and your mind was going elsewhere? You know, guilty. I always want to work on those things. But imagine then we kind of go through a week, so we go, yep, no, that's right. I want to give all my attention to my family. I want to give all my attention to my work. I want to give all my... But what if we come in and worship and we're just like, I don't know, this doesn't really matter. I'm just going through the motions. I don't know if I need to sing because those folks on the stage look like they could do it for me. I don't know if I need to think too hard about the scriptures because it looks like Dean already has, or at least he tried to. No. What does it mean to enter into worship and bring the very best of who you are? There's all kinds of things during the week we lift our voices to, get excited about, passionate about. Let me ask you this, for you, if you just thought right now, what is one way you could begin to say, Lord, when I come, I'm going to bring the very best of who I am to worship. I'm not bringing you leftovers, Lord. I'm not bringing you whatever attention or whatever energy I got left at the end of the week. I'm going to find a way to summon the best of who I am in worship. And here's the beauty of it. When we bring the very best of who we are in worship, I can tell you this. It is impossible to step boldly into the presence of God and walk away from that without being transformed at some level. You got burdens? Bring your burdens. You got fears and worries and concerns? Bring them, but turn your attention to him. And it's amazing how sometimes burdens and worries and fear can melt away in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And here's the extraordinary thing. If God's mission is for his name to be great among all the nations, there is this intrinsic, there's this totally connected link in the book of Malachi about how their worship is going to be a part of seeing God's name be great and known among the nations. God is in the process of his kingdom. It's like a mustard seed. It starts small, but it grows large. It will be the largest. One day, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. God's kingdom is in the process of advancing and of making his name known and his goodness and his glory and his greatness and how good his love is and all these things. He's in the process of making it known to all people everywhere. And there is an intrinsic link between how we worship and his mission going forward. You know, wherever you are, I'm going to invite you to stand. And I invite you to stand up. And we're going to respond to this today, but my real invitation is, if you're part of the tribe at True North, what if this just became part of our DNA to say we are always bringing our best in worship? When I was in university, my brother and I went to visit my uncle who lived in Michigan. He used to work for a university called Michigan State. They have a lot of great sports teams. I grew up in a state called Ohio. I'm no fan of Michigan. We went to a Michigan State basketball game, though, because I am a fan of great sport. And we went to this Michigan State basketball game, and Michigan State, their colors are green and white, and Ohio, the colors are red and white, you know, and so if I, you know how it is when, I mean, Ryan, we know how much the blue and gold mean to you. We all got our colors that when you see them, you feel. So I'd never been a Michigan State fan. Can I tell you something? We went to this game, and the people in that crowd, and it's hard to get tickets to a college basketball game like that, but my uncle got us tickets. And the people in that crowd is like nothing else. Like in the U.S., university sports have far more passionate fan bases than professional sports. It's just, you know, because it's not about the money, it's about the game and or something, I don't know. But you just get passionate. Can I tell you something that I'd never, still one of my favorite sporting experiences of all my life. There was only about 20,000, maybe, probably not even that many people in the arena. It wasn't like 100,000 or anything. The passion in that place, I was forever a Michigan State fan. They changed me. They turned me against my own state. I hope nobody watches this in Ohio. No, I'm just kidding. I still loved it. But do you know what happened was because they loved it so much, I couldn't help but love it. I walked away. It was like I had this experience. I was like, to this day, I chose my, you know, I'll always like Michigan State. It warms my heart when I see them. Why? Because I was in the presence of people who loved that team, and their passion infected me, and for the rest of my life, I'm a Michigan State fan. Do you know that there is an intrinsic link between your worship and the name of God being great? There's an intrinsic link between your worship and people around you. There's an intrinsic link between them coming to love God the way you do. Do you know one of the reasons our worship matters so much? It's God's means for how he's making his name known. Why was God like, you can't just, don't just bring me what you got left over. You wouldn't do it for your father, your governor. What does that say to the world? But when you bring me your best, it says to the world, it's a witness. Your worship is a witness. What's it witnessing? What would happen if part of the DNA of who we are, of who God's called us to be. We're just one little speck in his giant story. We're just one little speck in, but what if we, it was just, this is who we are and this is how we respond to God. We bring our best. Last week at the end of the service, I was in Mullaloo and a young man came up to me and he said, "Hey, Pastor Dean, you don't have to call me Pastor Dean. I'm only saying that's because what he said." And he wanted to not be rude or offensive. He said, "Pastor Dean, that's the first time I've heard the crowd louder than the people on the stage." And I said to him, "Oh, mate, it's amazing you would say that, because I was praying this morning. My dream and my vision is that the people on standing in the crowd would be louder than the people on stage." Why? Because that says something. It says that it's not five people who decided to bring their best today. It says there's a growing community of people who said, "I will bring my best. I'll bring my voice." Maybe you didn't get a good voice. I don't have a good singing voice. Come stand next to me. You'll hear it. Because I still bring it. You don't have to bring the best. You bring your best. You bring your best on a given day. Some days your best is less best than others. You know, you'll be able to look and go, "Dean, where do we rank this sermon?" And your best is, "Yeah, it's maybe not your best. Maybe it's not, but it's the best I had today. And it's what I think God wants." And so I've tried to bring my best, and my best of what I believe he wants is to say, "Hey, people, would you bring your whole self? Would you bring your voice? Would you bring we're supposed to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength." Do you know our worship and song is one of the few activities of life that will perfectly blend our heart, soul, mind, and strength in worship perfectly. If you don't engage your heart and choose to love God, nothing good will flow. If you don't focus your mind on it, you'll literally be lost. If you do engage your mind, the words of songs will reshape and restore your mind and re-breathe truth into your life. If you bring your soul to this party, you can say, come on, my soul, bring what you got. And then if you let it all flow out with your voice and your body, hands raised, kneeling at times or moving or walking or clapping or jumping or celebrating or sitting and crying, whatever it is, but bring your whole self in worship. And maybe, just maybe, as we do that, we can play our small part in seeing his name great among the nations. Now, I want to pray for you wherever you are. I want to pray for our church. I want to pray that we will be a place that is known for bringing their best in worship, not so that our name would be great or matter in any way, but so that God's name would be great in this world. In a few moments, we're going to come. If you're in one of our physical locations and you're going to meet with Jesus at the table, there's bread and a cup that's there for us to come to the table. Bring your whole self. Confess what needs confessed. Ask for what you need. But don't just walk through the motions. Be fully engaged. Be fully present. If you want somebody to pray with you, see some people on the sides, love to pray with you. But in the moments we have, let us bring our whole selves to God in worship. Does that sound good? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we don't come to worship to earn anything. We thank you that you don't call us to bring our best because you need it. You invite us to do that because, Lord, we need it. It's what we're created for. Thank you that you've created us to worship and you have made a way for us to step into your presence. And I pray that, Lord, your spirit might breathe afresh into us as your people. Breathe afresh into us as your body. Inflame our hearts with love for you. Let your presence be pleased to dwell amongst us so that you would never have to say to us, don't light those useless fires, but rather you could delight and be joyful and glad in the worship we might bring as our offering to you. Oh, Lord Jesus, renew our vision. Restore our vision of who you are. You are the Lord Almighty. May our worship be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's come when you're ready. Sing as you're ready. But let's engage in worship.